الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر احدكم من يخالف او كما قال عليه الصلاه والسلام مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما ابدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم او فول فول نہیں جس پھول میں بو نہیں او فول فول نہیں جس پھول میں بو نہیں او دل دل نہیں جس دل میں تو نہیں او دل دل نہیں جس دل میں تو نہیں تو نہیں ہائی اس جہاں میں منہ چھپانے کے لیے تو نہیں ہائی اس جہاں میں منہ چھپانے کے لیے تو نمونہ بن کے آیا ہے زمانے کے لیے تو نمونہ بن کے آیا ہے زمانے کے لیے تو نہیں ہے وقت غفلت نگنوانی کے لیے تو نہیں ہے وقت غفلت نگنوانی کے لیے تو ہے دنیا بھر کے سوتوں کو جگانی کے لیے تو ہے دنیا بھر کے سوتوں کو جگانی کے لیے اللہ پروردگار عالم ہم سب کو جو یہاں اہل اللہ کے صحبت میں بیٹھنے کے توفیق عطا فرمائی اہل اللہ کے صحبت میں بیٹھنے کی اہمیت کے بارے میں کچھ بولنا چاہتا ہوں. میرے پیر و مرشد شیخ اول شاہ حکیم محمد اختر صاحب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ وہ فرمایا کرتے تھے میسر تم مرا صحبت بجانی عاشق آیات میسر تم مرا صحبت بجانی عاشق آیات ہمیں بینم کے جنت بر زمین از آسمان آیات ہمیں بینم کے جنت بر زمین از آسمان آیات اللہ رب العالمین جب ہمیں اہل اللہ کی صحبت نصیب ملایا تو میں اپنے پیچھے سمجھ رہا ہوں گویا کہ آسمان سے زمین کے اندر جنت آ گیا ہے آسمان سے زمین کے اندر جنت آ گیا ہے. میں اسے سمجھ رہا ہوں میں گویا کہ جنت کے اندر ہے. اہل اللہ کی صحبت اتنی قیمت ہے اتنی قیمت ہے. اہل اللہ کی صحبت کے بغیر کچھ بھی نہیں ہوتا. عبادت عبادت نہیں ہوتا ہے. اس کے اندر جان نہیں ہوتا ہے. اس کے اندر جان نہیں ہوتا ہے. دنیا میں ہر آدمی یہ تلاش کرتے ہیں میں صحت مند رہا ہوں ہمیشہ صحت مند رہا ہوں. اس کے لیے وہ ڈاکٹر کی مشورہ لیتے ہیں ڈاکٹر کے ساتھ رابطہ رکھتے ہیں. لیکن روحانی مرض لگے ہوئے ہے اس کے بعد کوئی فکر نہیں ہے. جسمانی مرض کے تو فکر ہوتا ہے روحانی مرض کے بارے میں کوئی فکر نہیں ہوتا ہے. روحانی جسمانی مرض میں اگر مبتلا ہو کر کوئی مر جائے وہ بے ایمان ہو کر نہیں مرے گا. لیکن روحانی مرض میں مبتلا ہو کر اگر وہ بغیر علاج کے مر جائے تو بے ایمان ہو کر مر جاتے ہیں. بے ایمان ہو کر مر جاتے ہیں. ہاں دیکھیے ہاں بے ایمان ہو کر مر جاتے ہیں. یہ تو ہم نماز پڑھتے ہیں روزہ کرتے ہیں ہاں دل کے کام کرتے ہیں ہمارے اندر ایک مرض وہ مرض ظاہر ہو جاتے ہیں. وہ یہ ہے کہ میں کچھ ہوں میں کچھ ہوں. حکیم محمد تھانوی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ بتایا کرتے تھے اپنی نیکار بننا تو فرض ہے لیکن اپنی کو نیکار سمجھنا حرام ہے. اپنی کو نیکار سمجھنا حرام ہے. تو دیکھیے کتنا بولیے مرض ہے نیکار سمجھنا حرام ہے. حالانکہ ہم ہمارے دل میں آتے ہیں میں تو کچھ ہوں میں کچھ ہوں کچھ ہونا میرا دل تو خاری کا سبب ہے کچھ ہونا میرا دل تو خالی کا سبب ہے یہ ہے میرا اعزاز کہ میں کچھ بھی نہیں ہوں یہ ہے میرا اعزاز کہ میں کچھ بھی نہیں ہوں. حدیث میں آیا ہے لطف لطف میں تو کچھ ہو گیا میں کچھ ہو گیا اپنے کو بڑا سمجھنے لگے میں تحجد بھی بڑھتا ہوں اور اشتہار بھی بڑھتا ہوں قرآن پاک تلاوت کرتا ہوں یہ فلاں کام دین کے کام کرتا ہوں میں کچھ ہو گیا. تو دیکھیے یہ ایسی ایک حدیث فقط مرد ہے فقط مرد ہے جو اپنے کو کچھ سمجھے گا میں کچھ ہو گیا وہ جنت میں نہیں جا سکے گا. حدیث میں آیا ہے لا يدخل جنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من خردل من كبر. جنت میں نہیں جا سکے گا جس کے دل میں تھوڑا سا کبر ہے تھوڑا سا کبر ہے وہ جنت میں نہیں جا سکے گا. حکیم علماء تھانوی رحمۃ اللہ بتاتے ہیں جو اپنے کو کچھ سمجھتے ہیں میں کچھ ہو گیا وہ اللہ میاں کے نظر میں سوار اور کتا سے بھی بدتر ہو جاتے ہیں سوار اور کتا سے بدتر ہو جاتے ہیں. حدیث میں آیا ہے اللہم اجعلنی فی عینی صغیرا و فی عینی الناس کبیرا. اے اللہ مجھے اپنی نظر میں چھوٹا بنا دیجیے میں کبھی کچھ ہو گیا اس سے میرے دل میں خیال نہ آ جائے میرے نظر میں اپنے کو چھوٹا بنا دیجیے اور لوگوں کی نظر میں بڑا بنا دیجیے لیکن اپنی نظر میں اپنے کو چھوٹا بنا دیجیے. تو دیکھیے یہ ہمارے اندر مرض بھری ہوئی ہے یہ سب مرض بھری ہوئی ہے. اللہ اکبر اہل اللہ کی صحبت میں آنے سے یہ مرض کا علاج ہوتا ہے. ہمارے شیخ بتایا کرتے تھے دیکھو دنیا میں بیوٹی پارلر ہوتا ہے بیوٹی پارلر میں کالی عورتوں کو بالکل سادہ بناؤ سندر دار کے بالکل ان کے شوہر کے لائق بنایا جاتا ہے اور اہل اللہ کی صحبت ہمارے شیخ اس کے بارے میں بتایا کرتے تھے یہ ہے روحانی بیوٹی پارلر روحانی بیوٹی پارلر اس کے اندر جو آنا جانا رکھے گا جاتا آنا جانا رکھے یہاں آتے جاتے اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو اللہ تعالیٰ کے لائق اللہ تعالیٰ بنا دے گا اللہ تعالیٰ کے لائق بنا دے گا. اہل اللہ کے صحبت غنیمت سمجھنا چاہیے اللہ تعالیٰ ہمارے شیخ کے حیات میں برکت عطا کرے صحت عافیت کے ساتھ اللہ پاک ان کو 120 سال عمر عطا فرمائے. صحبت میں انہوں کی کتنی لذت پوچھئے انہوں سے جنہوں نے کیا وقت قربان اللہ کے لیے جنہوں نے کیا وقت قربان اللہ کے لیے مشرق تا مغرب شمال تا جنوب تفریح فرمائی ہر ایک علاقہ محبت حق کی آگ لگائی ہر ایک علاقہ محبت حق کی آگ لگائی. دعا کرو بھائی افریقہ والو حضرت کے لیے 120 سال عمر بڑھے گی فضل خدا سے 120 سال عمر بڑھے گی فضل خدا سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم حضور صلی اللہ علیہ رسول کریم مدار بریف ٹرانسلیشن فار حضرت مولانا مینشن حضرت ساتر فار حدیث رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم The man is on the deen of his friend. Whoever his bosom friends are, that is the deen of that person. Then he said, I'm saying a poem, the meaning of which is, that flower is not a flower which has no smell. And that heart is not a heart in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there. It's not worthy of being called a heart. And then he says that we have come in this world as a numuna, as a guide for the people. People must look up to us and follow us. We have not come here in this world to mark our time, just to waste our time. And we have come actually to waken up those people who are sleeping, the kuffar, the believers. Allah save us and protect us, and we become like those people. In the lesson, he wants to speak about the importance of staying in the company of the Ahlul Bar, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Mawlana Shaykh Haji Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to sit in the company of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is like Jannah has come unto the earth. It's a very, very great thing, Allah's great favor upon us. So we should really appreciate it. Because without the sohbat and the company of the Ahlullah, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no life in a person's ibadah. He will do his actions of worship. He will worship Allah ta'ala, but it's like death. There won't be a life in it. And similarly, besides this, every person, he wants to be healthy physically. So he has a connection with a doctor, first physical doctor, he goes to him whenever he's feeling sick. But we unfortunately do not have the fear and concern for our spiritual sicknesses. Whereas the spiritual sicknesses are far, far greater and much more harmful. Suppose if a person has got a physical sickness and he passes away, there is no harm to a person. Inshallah, he gets that Allah will reward him very greatly. He'll have to swallow iman. But if he has spiritual sicknesses, sometimes the person does not make ilaj, he does not cure it. And the result of this can be, he can leave the world without iman also. Allah protect him, save us. So the effect of the spiritual sicknesses will last after a person leaves this world, the person hasn't got concern for it. One sickness which comes into a person, he makes a bit of ibadah, and he suddenly gets a fright within himself, make good shua in somebody. Anas Shawalitana Rahmatullah used to say, in ek banda farz hai, apne aap ko nek samajna haram hai. To become pious is farz, compulsory upon a person. But to regard oneself as pious, this is haram, this is completely forbidden. And as I say in one poem, which means that my honor is that when a person realizes I am nothing at all, but there is a humility within himself. In the Hadith Sharif it is mentioned that a person who has got one atom's weight of pride, dies through Jannah. He will not be allowed to enter Jannah because he has got a small amount of pride. So this shows the harm of a person who has got these spiritual sicknesses. As Imam Shawarizhani Rahmatullah Ali mentioned also, that the person who has pride within himself, that Allah Ta'ala makes him in the sight of people worse than even dogs and even swine. And Hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dua, Allahumma ja'alni fi aini saghira wa fi aini nasi kabira. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in my own eyes, make me regard myself as small, I am nothing at all. This is a person that he must actually make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He must regard himself, I am nothing at all, I am very, very small. But in the eyes of people, Allah Ta'ala must give us honor, respect, Allah must protect and save us from this great embarrassment. So when a person sits in the company of Ahlullah, then a person will get this cure. And as Al-Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah used to mention, that like how in this world you get a beauty parlor, and people who are not very good looking, they go to the beauty parlors, and they become beautiful, they beautify themselves, and now they become worthy of their husband. They go out, the husband is happy to see them, because they look very, very beautiful. So the company of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the ruhani, the spiritual beauty parlor. When a person is not worthy, he's got many, many faults and weaknesses, but he goes in the company of the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so now he becomes worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The physical one, you become worthy of your husband. Here you become, your heart becomes purified, and you become worthy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, going to his court. And Allah gave us tawfiq and ability to appreciate the great bounties of sitting in these majalis, in these gatherings. And there is so much of enjoyment sitting in the company of the Ahlullah, are those who have sacrificed their lives. And as I said, you should make dua for our Shaykh also, that Allah Ta'ala must give him a long life, the people of South Africa to appreciate and to take full benefit, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, plan us also.
الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب Just a few months ago in the monthly message that Marana has spoken about I was just recently looking over some of my notes and I have seen this One aspect, Allah Ta'ala grant us, grant me tawfiq, grant us all tawfiq. As Murana explained, that one of the great causes by which a person flies towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by respecting those people, places and times which are respected and honorable in the sight of Allah. And why one very great cause by which a person distances himself away from Allah and he deprives himself of tawfiq is when a person does not respect the people, the places and the time which Allah has given respect and honor to. So this is something which is very, very important. Allah gives me tawfiq, Allah grant us all tawfiq. A person goes to the Haramain Sharifain, at that time the demand of Iman is that he must give the utmost respect to the Haramain Sharifain. Because he is in a place which is of such great respect. And like that day, a person comes to the masjid, Allah grant us all tawfiq, really this is a great weakness which we find in ourselves. that because we are accustomed to coming to the masjid, so the full respect of the masjid is not it. We come to the masjid, we sometimes play with our phones, our minds are somewhere else, and because of this time is spent in the masjid, but the time does not bear the full fruit of the masjid. Really, if a person walks into the masjid and he understands that I am going to be in the presence of Allah, and when I am going to stand in salah, Allah is going to be in front of me, and I will be directly conversing with my Allah, and when I recite every verse of Quran, my Allah is listening. So attentively my Allah is listening, more attentively than a master listens to his slave girl. And the enjoyment that he takes out of his slave girl singing for him, my Allah is listening so attentively to me. I am reciting the kalam of Allah, Allah give me tawfiq. May Allah not make it just words, may Allah make it a reality. But we are in the masjid and our minds are somewhere else. We are in salah, our minds are somewhere else. One part of our deen is respect of the masjid. One part of our deen is the respect for those days and times which Allah has given respect. The month of Ramadan comes, Morana has mentioned many, many times, the beautiful manqul of Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi. He said that people say you want to pass time. Those people who say they want to pass time, they are actually daily. And really on the day of Qiyamah when we will go in front of Allah, one of our biggest regrets will be this, that time which Allah gave me, that valuable asset, time of my life was used, it was used. It was no benefit whatsoever. That limpatni Islam is zarti sarfuhu zala ya'nihi. It is the beauty of a person in Islam that he gives up those things which don't benefit him. This is another aspect of Allah puts in my heart. I just mentioned this here. A few years ago, Ibrahim Salafi came to our Darul Ulum. It was the end of the year, Jalsa. And he spoke on the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during his bayan. Something which was very thought-provoking. It remained in my mind since today. He said that there is one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, presently the holiday period. So before of this year, in connection with this year, he said, Man ittaba'a as-sayda ghafar. There are many people, the hadith speaks about specifically, people who go out hunting. So those people who are out hunting, who are always looking for game, generally because of the environment, they are away from deen, away from people of deen, and they are always involved in their hunting, in their hobby, in their sport, in their passion. So what happens in that environment, they become very neglectful regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they become very neglectful regarding deen. So he said, one day I was teaching this lesson, and I was thinking to myself, how can I explain this to the students in a manner, to the students in a manner which applies to their lives, which is applicable to their lives. So he said, I thought to myself that hunting is just one branch of this year. But there are many, many things which people take as sport, as hobby, many things which people take as entertainment, and many times for leisure a person adopts some means. He adopts a certain system. When a person goes out now for holiday, he said in the past it was not conceivable. The old people, when they would be these public holidays, then they would say, let's call our family together. And all families must meet, and we must have a family gathering, and we will have some ta'aleen, and we will mention some incidents of the pious people. And through this year, deen was kept alive. Today, our general perception, this is another great fault, Allah grant us tawfiq. Today, mihman nawazi has come out of our. Today, what is understood as mihman nawazi is that very seldom, rarely, we will have a very big bash, and we'll invite everyone, and we'll have a very big thing, and everyone will come out and say, oh, what's that hour? And the reality of the matter is, many people for weddings, and for other functions like this, a very big dawah is held, and a person hopes after the day that, you know, after this dawah, everyone will praise it. But as the people walk out, then what we see, the total opposite, everyone is complaining. Just recently I heard, I can't even remember where, somebody was saying that they were present in a certain dawah, and at the end of this dawah, as the people were coming out, at that time the host, it was a wedding function, so he had paid the caterer and he said, you do everything, I will have nothing to do with it. So that man took the money, a very big amount he paid him, maybe some 10, 15 years ago, Allah knows better. Very big amount he paid him, and after paying him such a big amount, the host himself, when he walked out, he also complained about the food. And it has become our nature also to complain, Allah Ta'ala take away the quality from us. So what we were saying is that when we want to have dawah, speak dawah. But the reality of the matter is that mihman nawazi was a quality which was inherent in every Muslim. And it was supposed to be something which was beloved. May Allah Ta'ala bring this back again in our lives. We heard from Hazrat Murana, that Murana Yusuf Rahmatullahi used to say, one of the objectives of our work is that every single house must become a restaurant and must become a hotel. that therefore a Muslim, there is no other place besides another Muslim's house. Today unfortunately our houses have become so big that our hearts have become so small. The old people, it was common amongst them, we heard of many, many areas. Niger was an area which is close to Hyderabad. There was a certain elderly brother who used to sit in the masjid. And he would remain in the masjid after Maghrib Salah till about 15-20 minutes before Isha, in the hope that somebody will enter in the masjid and become his guest. He would perform long rakats of Awabin Salah, and as soon as he would see any mihman coming, he would shorten his Salah, and as soon as that person finished his Salah, he would say, come on, food is prepared, you can stay here, you can spend the night. Every night this was his habit. In the old days, people had small houses, but very big hearts. Today this quality also has one house on it. I was speaking of Ryan Sarek, and he had mentioned, he had said that because of getting involved in our leisure, in those days it would be a family gathering. In today's times it is holidays. And everyone wants entertainment and different forms of entertainment. As Marana is generally saying, it's so amazing. A person saves up the entire year. He works so hard from morning till night. And he really works himself to the bone. But after all of that effort, at the end what happens? When he gets some time, when he can enjoy his house, he spends on his carpet, he spends on his bed, he spends on his curtains, he spends on his garden outside. He made his house so beautiful. Really, his house is like one picture of Jannah in this world. But after spending so much money for his house to make it comfortable, the days that he gets, the few days he gets in a year, in which he can spend his time in the comfort of his house, what he does, he decides he'll go for holiday. And where he'll go for a camping trip. And he put up one small little tent, and inside there will be mosquitoes summoning him, and the next morning he'll wake up and say, no, last night I couldn't sleep at all. And he'll have baked beans and pop, and he'll say, oh, you know, I am a very intelligent, very progressive person. Like the other people, I went on holiday, you know, I went holiday, I went camping and so on and so forth. And I went and enjoyed myself in this certain hotel, but what happened in the hotel? In that hotel, the kitchen wasn't working. Now, I couldn't make more. I couldn't even make a cup of tea for myself. If I needed to go and, to go to the shop to buy something, one carton of milk or so, there was a long line. I waited half an hour in that line. And we think we're very progressive. The reality is that a person who understands, I have to keep Akhirah as my focus. Every moment I have to work towards Akhirah. Then a person will have very little time for all of these things like entertainment and this. Because he has an objective in front of him. He knows what Allah has sent him in the world. So he said that hadith teaches us that a person who is always involved in leisure, holidays, enjoyment, entertainment, what happens, he becomes forgetful of his objects. He forgets about Akhirah. And many of us would have witnessed and we would have seen, a person goes on holiday, what happens is that he can't perform Salah. If he gets for a masjid also, generally he'll get late. Many times Salah will be delayed also. Sometimes Salah will even become Qadha. A person is looking for halal food, very difficult to find halal food. Now he has to go anyway. He has to buy something to fill his stomach, to fill his family's stomach. The laws of hijab, generally we are so concerned. But now on a holiday, you say, leave it now, we can't be so hard. So many of the laws of hijab will also go. A person was dressed according to sunnah, he was dressed according to sharia. But when the holidays come, suddenly his dress also goes out. Why I was mentioning this here, just last week I met a certain friend, and he mentioned to me, he said, speak about this, it is something very important. One manfooz, one advice he had read in Hazrat Murana's kitab, there was a certain person, Abdul Majid. He was a Christian man. He was living in France. And he loved Islam from his heart. And many years of his life passed, with the love of Islam, he even built a masjid. But when the Muslims of that area, who would make ibadah in the masjid, he loved to see people performing salah and sajda. But they would make ibadah, instead of seeing they're making ibadah, it became an issue of politics. This man is fighting with that man, who's going to take control over the masjid, who's going to call the shots. So finally he took the keys back. One Jamaat came from Tunisia, and when he saw this Jamaat, he was very, very happy. He said, you know, I have read Quran for the last 30 years, but I have not gotten a chance to see people of the Quran. Today you people have come, now I have seen people of the Quran. So after the Jamaat came, within those 3 days that they stayed in that masjid, they spoke to him and he accepted Islam. And he came to Pakistan, it was most likely 1979, and he gave a bayan. And in the bayan he mentioned three things which are very important, especially now in this silent period. He said three things that a Muslim keeps to himself, and he practices upon firmly, through him Allah will spread hidayah to mankind. And these are three very important means by which
a Muslim's actions can have effect on the heart of the non-Muslim. Allah grant us all tawfiq. The first thing he said, always keep your Islamic identity. No matter where we are, in whatever environment we are, but always remember we are a Muslim, we are an ambassador of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said there is nothing which is as effective in calling and in drawing the non-Muslims to Islam as this action of dressing as a Muslim. So he gave a lot of emphasis, and Allah grant us all tawfiq. As Murana had mentioned, and this is something which is very important to always keep in mind. Remember on the day of Qiyamah, we are going to face Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In our graves, we will have to recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But that recognition will not be one of our minds. It will be a recognition of the heart. If our heart was attached to Sunnah, then in our graves, we will be able to recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the contrary, if our hearts were not, then we will not recognize Rasulullah. This is one. And the other aspect is that on the day of Qiyamah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have to recognize us. We have to keep this in mind always. That on that day it must not be that I face disgrace and humiliation in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second advice he gave, wherever a Muslim is, always keep Adhan. Adhan is a great attraction to the non-Muslim. And many times a person is on safar, is on a journey, we give up this great sunnah of giving Adhan. Allah grant us tawfiq for bringing it alive and of giving Adhan with enjoyment. This is one of the great ibadat of Islam. That a person gets a chance of doing to give Adhan the greatest dawah towards Islam. He said, wherever you are, give Adhan. And the third thing, he said, wherever you are, perform your salah. Whether you are in a petrol station, whether you are in the airport, whether you are somewhere on the side of the road, wherever you may be, make sure you perform salah if possible with Jama'ah. He said, the effect of the fear on the heart of the kuffar, he said, this is like an arrow which pierces through the enemies of Islam, through their hearts. And those people who are drawn towards Islam, when they see this fear, they are just overwhelmed and overtaken. This is a great sign of Islam. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq for implementing these three advices in our life. And may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala grant us tawfiq for spreading it to the entire world.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In this ayah surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, addressing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he has given you Kawthar. There are various explanations of Kawthar. The most famous and the most accepted, it is the well, the fountain of Kawthar in the akhirah, from where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give the ummah to drink, and after that a person will never feel thirsty again. In Jannah, he won't drink because of thirst. Just for enjoyment and pleasure. And that it is in Jannah, it will be such, the food also, the beautiful Hurul Ain also, the dreams also, it will be not because of desire. Here we enjoy when we are thirsty. But there without the thirst you will enjoy food. Here you enjoy food if you are hungry. If you are very full, you bring the best food in front of that person who doesn't want to eat it. But Jannah you will eat, you won't feel hungry, but Allah will make it. And you will eat. So Kawthar will be there. So when we make our wudu also, Allah give us tawfiq. Ulama, fuqaha have written various du'as. When we're gurgling our mouth, the du'a is Allahumma, Allahumma istini min hawdi nabiyyika sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sharbatan hani'atan la azma'u ba'dahu abada. Oh Allah, give me to drink of the fountain of Kawthar from the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such a drink that after that I never feel thirsty again. All the various du'as ulama have written, they are not the sunnat, one sunnat du'a, which is written in the wuzu khanas, when we are Allahumma aghfir li zambi, wa wassi' li fi dari, wa barik li fi rizqi, that we should read. And besides that, there are many other du'as which ulama, our elders, our wuzu say we should read that. And very beautiful du'as, that we should be given our record of deeds in our right hand, not in the left hand, behind our back. And if we think of this muzakra we are making, it will remind us of the akhirat also. When we are washing our legs, that, oh Allah, keep our legs firm and steady on full sirat. Otherwise, we don't think of this, and this is all so very important for us. Whose sirat is a very all, the akhirat, this dunya's life also, to live it according to deen is a great, great test from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq that we practice on it. Anyway, with regard to the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for our present times that we are in, and perhaps very hardly perhaps any children here, but the parents are here. Or rather the fathers are here today, mothers are not here, so we see the crowd is also less. Many have come because the women bring the men. Women can't come today, so the men also are absent. So anyway, the fathers are present. It's very, very important during this period especially that we look after our children very well. And it is not easy because the whole year we didn't give them the proper training. Now we want to put them in a cage. It's almost impossible. But if we brought them up properly, right from childhood, then it will be something completely different. Just as a little inspiration for all of us, we received one application in the Madrasa Darul Uloom from a student in America. Now this is, we're talking of America, not some Muslim country or some India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, from America. He's 13 years old. He has completed his hips and is in the fourth year or is going to the fourth year. Now, a young boy like that, this is reminiscent of the people of the past. They were ulama at the age of 17 and they wrote tafsir of the whole Quran. What people they were. Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayh, I think before he became baligh also, he was a mufti, he was giving fatwas of it. These people were like that. So that if we bring our children up like that, unfortunately today the whole everything is we just losing ourselves. And in this period, totally we are losing ourselves. As Maulana was explaining, not only the children, we as parents, grown ups, we lose ourselves during this period. We change our lifestyle, we change our way of life. Everything we change during this period. And Allah only knows that what the effect it has on us. When this few days and this period has this effect, then what is it going to be when Dajjal comes? How are we going to control ourselves when Dajjal comes? If we can't control ourselves with these things yet, and these are all the signs of Dajjal already, what will happen when he actually comes? One great alim said that when our iman cannot save us from gunas yet, how will that iman save us from the fire of Jahannam? Iman is that power that saves us from gunas. Allah forgive us. Very weak iman that we just get watered down completely. Small things we get watered down in the forest. So during this period, and today it's not only the boys, a great fear of our daughters, of our young girls also. Which places they frequent, where they are going, and how they are living, etc. One was a time that people were worried that the children don't read namaz, that they don't dress Islamically or something. Then came a time when people were worried. Children get involved in music, in drugs also. Now is the time that a person loses his iman also. Such friends and the youngsters, what questions they ask. And they don't want, they just cannot accept any explanation. Or they just don't want to accept any explanation. One of the main chief causes are, we don't give them deen during the year. Especially when they start coming to high school. Now we no more attend madrasa also, mostly. So now they just do what they want to. And in the deen, in the house also, not forget there isn't a deeni environment. In fact, there is an anti-dini environment, mostly with the TV, etc., all the magazines, newspapers lying around. In many homes, we've got our the library shelf. But what is in that library shelf? That's 2-4 Islamic books. Others are all some Harry Potter books, some other books, some other things. And many of us feel that it's necessary to know those things. Whereas, whatever for company you keep, as Maulana has read that hadith, and a book is also your company. And that is one great miracle of the Quran Sharif. If a person reads it without understanding also, the effect of the teachings of the Quran Sharif will come in that person. So whichever book we read, the effect of that book, the effect of that author will come into us. Therefore our ulama are so strict that even if a book is written, a kitab, by a alim or by any person, but that person hasn't actually got deen in his life, and he writes a good book also, they say don't touch that also. It has got an effect, but we perhaps will not, our age, we are understanding and accepting. But when we go out from here and we go home, people don't understand these things. So it's very important that we work on this. So during this period, this whole period, we must try and work on our children. And throughout, from the time they are born, all the time, we have to work upon them. And in fact, before they are born, that is a whole different about upbringing of children, that the mother, the father, how much of deen they have got in them. At one time, there was a boy, he was 8 years old, complete hafiz. And so jayyid hafiz, so sure of himself, he sat on the mimbar and he read with full confidence. And the gathering was filled with huffaz and ulama, who knew Quran very, usually you get frightened when you read in front of them. But he read with so much conviction. I asked his father, that how did you just come into this child? He thought for a while, then he told me that his mother used to read 15 suparas when she was bearing him. 15 suparas a day. So it has an effect on the child. So Allah give us tawfiq. This is a very important thing at this time. We know where and where we are going, our children are going, and what is happening. And how many lose their lives physically also, and spiritually how much lose, even more, nobody takes statistics of the spiritual loss of life. Physically so many accidents, this happened, that happened, so many people died on the roads, etc. And besides the roads, the others who died. When all the drinking takes place and all the fights that take place, how many die there? That is again separate. And how many die spiritually? That our deen, how it's coming out of us. And when our children go for all this fun and entertainment in the different places, and if we have to say Islam forbids it, they don't like Islam. So we have, today, diplomacy also, what diplomacy must we use? And to what extent must we go? When the tarbiyat and the mind of the child has not been made. Small things, if on a holiday you tell the child five times namaz you must read, he feels it hard also. A child, he has to stay at home, and it's very boring. Where you get your five times namaz, you get your Quran Sharif, you get everything, but you are bored. Until you don't engage in the non-Muslim way of life, till then they are bored. When they engage in a non-Muslim way of entertainment, etc., then they feel all right. So, and as parents, we will suffer the consequences. Of our children, what they do, we are going to suffer the consequences. They, how much they are going to suffer, only Allah knows. But how much we will also suffer. Another very important point also that we have to discuss is that of backbiting, which has become been all the time very rampant. And we don't even recognize many times that we are backbiting. Ulama have written to this extent that the struggle that is taking place in the world, the unrest and death, they have attributed it solely to backbiting. Why? Because the other gunas are plenty. But all those gunas, at least a person accept, even if he carries on, it is a guna. For a person to make tawbah from the other gunas which people commonly commit, that also is very highly possible that they will accept and they will make tawbah from it. But, and in most cases they will accept we are wrong. This is, they won't justify it. But backbiting, the very pious and very learned also, we justify it. And many times when we start backbiting also, we say that it's not right, it's haram to backbite. But, and with this but, ulama have written that but takes you out of Islam also. Because you said it is haram, and now you are indulging in it, and you are thinking it of as, if you're thinking of it now as halal, then to make a haram a halal, that is much, much more serious. So this is so common with us also. And other gunas, a person will know it is a guna. This we say, it's just part of life. As one great buzurg have written, that for the fussar, the evil people, people who commit sin openly, for them backbiting is like their hobby. They just backbiting. It is their food. It is like a feast, a meal. And we have to pray. They say there is an example, like when we eat a meal and then you start backbiting on that, you start talking, and in many, many cases you go into backbiting. And you say the sad part is you read Bismillah at the start. And now you start eating haram, the flesh of your Muslim brother you are eating when you are backbiting. And the sad part also, backbiting, a person only backbites about the person he dislikes. So what you are earning, your good deeds that you do, you are transferring it into his account. Okay? One buzurg says that when you backbite, then he asked that person who had backbited, did you ever fight against the enemies of Islam? He said, no, I never. So he says that you never caused any difficulty, inconvenience, harm to the enemies of Islam. But by your backbiting, you are causing inconvenience, hurt and pain to your Muslim brother. The whole life you didn't make one dua against the non-Muslims. But here you are hurting the feelings of a Muslim brother. So this is, and the feelings of a Muslim brother are more valuable to Allah Ta'ala than the Kaaba Sharif also. The heart of a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala honors it so much. It has got great honor. So it is very important that we understand what is backbiting. There are various forms of backbiting which are permissible also. Like for example, a person is going to go and rob somebody. He's going to go and kill somebody. You know about it. So you inform the person, you inform the police, etc. That is also backbiting. You're speaking bad about your brother. But this is 100% legitimate and necessary so that that person can get saved. But our ulama of the present times don't go so much into all those details. And generally they say that backbiting we must stay away from. Hazrat Rabia Basariya, radiallahu ta'ala anha, rahimahullah, somebody had asked her that to backbite about shaitan, the open enemy of Allah Ta'ala, known enemy of Allah Ta'ala. She said, in that time I would prefer to make the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. So if we make the zikr of Allah, read one durood sharif, read third kalima, read istighfar, that would be much, much more better. So, and today also, our own, to justify it, we will say because of this reason, it's necessary, that reason, and our nafs is very, very far from clean today. And for us to make that decision is very difficult. So for safety's sake, we should try and just avoid backbiting. And where does it come? Where and where? Husband and wife talk. Husband comes, you heard what happened today. And with that, and usually what happened? In the town, about town people you are now backbiting. About the family, this family, this happened. The wife tells the husband when he comes, you heard today, I got a phone call, this happened, that happened. And there we get so much involved in it, and we don't even realize. One alim said that when we are having a meal, have whatever you want to, halal, jais. But don't backbite about the alim of the town. Because that is commonly also, he is the main focus that people talk about him. That is very, very difficult, very harmful to backbite about him. And to backbite about an alim is much more worse than backbiting about an ordinary person. So this is also a very common thing. And the ulama have written that the difficulties and hardships which we are going through individually, collectively, is because of this also. So we should think very, very carefully about this, and we should analyze ourselves. Think, take little time and think for ourselves that where and where are we, what are we doing, where are we getting involved. For example, it's very easy, many of us, we got kurta, we got beard, topi, a servant also. So even a proposal comes, we say he's in sunnah. Anything else we discuss, he's in sunnah. But just this sunnah here, the outward sunnah, that is not sufficient. And we also, we bluff ourselves. We don't realize it. Another thing is with our titles. We get misled with our titles also. You are Maulana Sahib, you are Hafiz Sahib, you are Haji Sahib, whatever, all the Sahibs. And then you think I'm somebody. But Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahmatullahi, once he made bayan about sunnah, And it was a period when Dodi, green marrow, it was common, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved it. It's sunnah to eat it. It's very good for health also, and lot of benefits in it also. So it was the season also at that time. So at home, his family was preparing every day, supper, lunch. Every day, supper, lunch, dodi. So Maulana said, what is this dodi? One way, just coming, one way, one meal up. He said, you dodi sunnah. Then it struck him at that time, that when a woman in a house, living in a house, she is so conscious of sunnah, how much of sunnah is in my life? So he said to him, he made muhasabah, he took a stock of himself for about 3 days or so to see how many sunnahs are in my life. And we also, if we have to check ourselves, sunnahs are far. Our faraz namazas, if we check. That how pabandh are we, and then what jamaat, how pabandh are we, and then what namaz also, that how much concentration in a namaz. How many of our whole namaz goes? We hardly thought about Allah Ta'ala, and namaz was exclusively for Allah Ta'ala. So if we check ourselves, and one point we start trying to correct, the sunnahs also, if we have to see, how many sunnahs are in my life? So one is namaz, if we check, tilawat of Quran, everyone feels happy, now and then we make tilawat, I make every day tilawat. Oh, now and then we get up for tahajjud, we are happy, I'm pabandh with tahajjud. And it's human's nature. The bad things in him, that he doesn't think about. Like with husband and wife, you have a little argument, you take out so many faults about her, which she doesn't remember also. And she take out faults in you, which you don't remember. You remember all the good which you think is good you did for her. And she remember all the good what she thinks she did for you. Whether it was good or not, that is a different story also. So that is very, very common. So to correct ourselves in these things, and before we will be taken to task to check ourselves now. That in the qabr we are going to be questioned also. On the day of Qiyamah, if Allah opens the books and one thing Allah has to go through, perhaps you won't even pass in the first thing. Okay. One great buzzard says, I don't think my one subhanallah will come out right also. So we can only make dua to Allah Ta'ala, Allahumma hasibna hisaban yaseera, make it easy for us. And an easy hisab, that Allah doesn't check, just say, okay, go. That person is fortunate. Otherwise, the person who will be checked, that person is a goner. The minute the book is open and is one thing has to be checked, that person is a goner. So with regard to that, our talks at home with our friends, just see that how much are we getting involved in that writing. And today is the time again with the WhatsApp message after message. You just don't get finished with the messages. And every small thing there is a message, this message, that message all the time. So those are things that those areas are very important that we should take our time and think about it. But the sad part is the bayan will be finished, we'll make namaz. After that, I also will forget what I spoke. Everyone will forget, because just we went for a bayan. But if we take it like a study, a student attends classes, goes to university, he doesn't forget. He takes notes also. And he studies it again. He goes through it again. And with the students in a darulun, they are taught, before the lesson, go through that lesson. See how much you understand, what you understand of it. After that, listen to the ustad very carefully. See what you haven't understood, what you thought you understood, whether you understood it correctly or not. And after that, repeat it again. So in that way, you remember that. But here with bayan it is, and the bayan is remind. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ He says, it is very beneficial for the believer. But yet, the person who is reminding, he doesn't remember himself also. He forgets himself, he thinks has to tell everyone else. And everyone sitting also, very commonly, people say, if I heard, I wish so-and-so would listen. Or I would send the CD to so-and-so, if he listens to this. So we don't take it for ourselves. And till we don't take this for ourselves, we can't get benefit. Then a person doesn't really understand that all this is for me and I must benefit from it. I must bring it in my life. Till then a person doesn't benefit. We normally just take it for granted all this. but it is of great importance that we should take it and ponder about it and bring it into us. So this this backbiting mentioned that for the pushtaat, the evil doers, it is a meal. So whenever they have a meal, they read Bismillah, and then unfortunately they start with their backbiting. And we say we are talking about people who are open sinners, and backbiting is an open sin. You are falling into the sin yourself. Some wuzur said when they committed something happened, they say that, oh, I committed a sin, it is haram, it is correct, I understand it. And they commit a sin, it's not haram. So from one sin, we go into another sin. Everyone gets involved in the sin. And today, that sin goes international. On one message, on a group or anything, it goes international. So this is a very, very harmful thing. And to hurt the feelings of a fellow Muslim when he comes to know how difficult it is to correct this. If he comes to know, you have to go to that person and ask him maaf. Just ask ourselves, have we got the courage to tell a person, I backbited about you and I ask you for forgiveness. Eh? It's almost impossible for a person. You will find it so very hard. So, like this it is, if you know somebody is doing wrong, your own wife, your own children today, small children, they're doing wrong, you can't tell them. You go to the Maulana. You say, Maulana, tell my child, but don't say, I told you. So that is very, very common also. So we can't tell our own child also. Whereas in the past, it was a very common thing that if somebody did wrong, you go and tell him in a nice way, and that person will accept it also wholeheartedly. Today, unfortunately also, if you tell somebody, you'll become your enemy perhaps also. And we say that I can't tell anyone anything. Even generally, we don't want to speak about it. We just keep quiet. We see so much wrong. We go to a walimat hour, we go to any other function. We see wrong happening and we don't speak. We say, if I would speak, then it would be a big commotion. But it is our duty to tell the person. How many of us are such? It is written in the kitab. You are so sweet with the person on his face while you got daggers in your heart. Behind his back, you stab him. You speak bad about him. Whereas the correct thing is, in a nice, suitable way, you inform the person. This is not right what you are doing. This is not right what you are doing. You inform him. Not that you speak very, very sweetly in front of him, and behind his back you speak, you are different than that. That is munafaqa. That is being a hypocrite. So it is very important that this element also, we think about this. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. One is during this period to safeguard ourselves, and all the time to safeguard ourselves. And our children also, to safeguard them. And that also, not only now, but all the time, let us become conscious of these things. What is happening is, we're just taking everything as it is coming. And we're just swallowing everything. And the days are becoming more and more without being. The meaning is growing all the time. And we're just living up to it all the time. Let us take stock of ourselves and see what we have to be doing and what are we doing. What shouldn't we be doing and what are we doing? Let us take stock of ourselves. And in one verse, one very important aspect also is this backbiting and lying also. We lie also so much. Al-amanul hafiz. It means absolutely nothing to us just to speak a lie. And for nothing at times. We're just talking anywhere with friends and we make up a story. This happened, I did that, I did that. And it's all lies. So much so that our youngsters, they lie about having wrong, bad affairs with other with women, etc. Which is haram, that is haram. But just to show their friends, I'm somebody that I also did this. They lie, they totally lie they speak. Others speak the truth also, and that haram, which is also haram to speak. You commit a guna is haram, and to speak about the guna is another haram again. So this lying also is very, very common. And these are also major sins. And especially when we are making jokes also, there's a time also people unfortunately prize, etc. And then you need friends like that who will talk, not friends who will come and sit with the tasbih. Those friends, you don't want such friends to come and sit with the tasbih who are making tawbah istighfar and who are reading Durood Sharif at a bride. You need friends who are talking. And just talking, and you are building up things, and you are saying things about one another. Oh, there is backbiting, there is lying in there. And all these are major, major signs. And for lying, a person will be cut on his cheek with a scissor of fire right up to the earlobe. And then the next side, this side will come right again. And again this side. Just think a little bit. We just get a little pimple, a little sore in the mouth. And that is a big problem for us. And this will happen. And where will it happen? May Allah save us. Not in a doctor's surgery, in the fire of Jahannam. With all the other azab, this azab also, Allah protect us. And Allah Ta'ala has been very kind that He has not only given us tawbah, He has made it compulsory we make tawbah. And if we make tawbah, Allah is most forgiving. If we make tawbah, what are the rights of Allah? Our Buzurgs all right that Allah is very free in forgiving His rights. But the rights of fellow people, there Allah will say, sort it out there. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to correct our lives while we have got our few breaths which are coming out. We don't know during this period how many years they were going for a holiday and the person died there. On the way he died. He died in the river, in the sea. He died on the beach. And in what condition those people are, Allah save us all, protect us all. And Allah Ta'ala, let us make us conscious of our deen. And we got the perfect example of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of us. May Allah let us follow that example and make our lives accordingly. Then it will be easy to recognize Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the qabr also. He will intercede for us on the day of Qiyamah. And then inshallah we won't have problems. May Allah give us all the of your inside.